Have you ever noticed when you're at the beach and you're walking along on the sand and it's a bright, bright, bright sunny day, how easy it is to be blinded by the glare of the sun, especially if you look up too far? I mean, the sun's coming right at you. This is an old trick of the military pilots. You know, the Red Baron would come out of the sun because you couldn't see. You were blinded by the glare. But if you kept your eyes down, right, you keep them down, then you can see. Maybe all you can see is feet, but that you can see. Keep that in mind as we work through this passage. And I'll try to go quickly because it's a fairly long passage. At that time, Jesus passed by and he saw a man blind from birth. Wow, verse 1, got to stop right there. Blind from birth. This represents all of humanity. We are all born blind from birth. We are born blind in our sins. So we, like this man, need salvation. We need illumination. We need restoration, just like this man. Blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him." A couple of weeks ago, we talked about this idea that was prevalent in the ancient world and may still exist in some cultures today, that if you have sickness or trouble, it's your fault. Now, sometimes that may be the case. We can decidedly look at things. If we overeat, for instance, we tend to gain weight. There's a direct correlation. But it is not ratified in Scripture that all sickness and all trouble are the result of our own mistakes and sin. So don't let anyone lay that burden on you. We simply don't know much of the time. This example here, this man was blind from birth so that God might show his power, that God might heal him, but that the works of God might be manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, and this is Christ speaking, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light, the knowledge, the judgment, the wisdom, the truth, the way. He is the light of the world. The world itself thinks it knows the truth, but it does not. If you read the newspapers or check the internet news sites, that should be blindingly obvious. But it's not always, surprisingly. I am the light of this world. Now, as he said this, he spit on the ground and made clay of mud, basically, and anointed the man's eyes with the mud, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Okay, got to stop right there. What are we created of? Has anyone read Genesis lately? What did God do? He reached down, scooped up some of the earth, and he breathed into it, and man was thus. What does Christ do to heal this person? Reaches down, gets some dirt, spits into it, makes a little clay, a little mud, and sticks it on this guy's eyes, right there. If he couldn't see before, he doubly can't see now because he's got mud in his eyes, right? Okay. And he tells him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Now, this was another one of those mountain springs that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. This one, though, was a little further away from the temple. Right, so the guy's already blind. He's got mud on his eyes. He apparently knows where the pool is because he doesn't say, "I don't know how to get there." Right? He knows how to get there. He probably had someone leading him to. Do you think they snickered? Do you think human nature was really any different then than it is now? I mean, I'm sorry, but if I'm standing there and I don't know what's going on and I see somebody walking along with mud on their eyes, I might think, well, that's a little strange, isn't it? I might be tempted to snicker. I'm sorry, I might. I'm not saying that was good, but just to give you context, real world, what was happening. I mean, life was going on. It's not like the Get Smart Dome of Silence descended upon the Temple Mount and everybody stopped in hushed tones and watched what was happening. Life was going on. Things were busy. People didn't notice. Some people did. He walks to the pool of Siloam. That's a translation of a word, Shiloam, from which we get the English word Shiloh. If there are any Civil War buffs, that name will mean something to you. It means sent. So he went and washed and came back. That's verse 7. That verse 7 has three verbs in it. So he went, he washed, and he came back seeing. This is a distillation of baptism. He went. His faith was active. He did something. He didn't just stand there and wring his hands and think, wow, gee, maybe I should go wash this mud out of my eyes. No, he went and he washed. He didn't get lost. He didn't get distracted. He didn't forget. He didn't pull it off himself and wander off somewhere and do something else and never come back. He went, he washed, and he came back seeing. His vision was restored. He was healed. He was recreated, if you will. The neighbors and those who had seen him as a beggar said, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He said, "I am the man." They said to him, "Then how were your eyes open?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said to me, 'Go wash.' I went and washed. I received my sight." They said to him, "Now?" He said, "I don't know." Well, how would he know? He couldn't see, right? He walks away, Christ leaves, he comes back, Christ's not there. They didn't recognize him. What had changed? Nothing. I mean, he can see. This makes me think about when Christ came back and visited the disciples after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus. Remember, they didn't recognize him. It's the same guy, same voice, same everything, right? I mean, different body, right? His resurrection body. But still, and then at some point, their eyes are opened and they see. It's very important and interesting how vital our eyes are to others' perceptions of us. It's one reason why wearing sunglasses is so powerful. You can't see their eyes. We don't know what... It's more than not knowing what they're looking at. When we can't see their eyes, we can't guess what they're thinking. We really can't. It's important. So they brought the man to the Pharisees who had formerly been blind. The man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day. And you know that just burned them up because they hated for you to do anything on the Sabbath day. Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. The Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said, "Well, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I see." Interesting as we go through. Now this man was blind from birth. He didn't know Jesus, never met him, presumably. As we watch this, his vision goes from nothing to everything. Through the arc of this parable, he goes from being blind to recognizing Jesus' divinity. His non-existent vision grows stronger and stronger. At the same time, the weak vision of the Pharisees, who thought they could see things, gets worse and worse and worse. It hardens. It hardens. If anyone has ever had cataracts, I believe I'm right in this, nobody correct me, but I think that is, to some degree, a hardening of that lens inside our cornea. I know it gets cloudy, but whether it hardens or not, I'm not sure. But it wouldn't surprise me if it did. It gets harder and harder, and therefore, they can't see. So they ask this man, who helped you? He says, "It was Christ." Well, this man can't be from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" So there was division among them. And they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." So no longer, "I don't know," now he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents. And they asked him, and he said, "He is of age. Ask the man, ask our son," because they didn't want to get kicked out of the temple. Okay. For a second time, they called the man back and said, "Give God the praise." If anyone has ever watched or been in court, you know that they will say, "Put your hand on the Bible. Do you solemnly swear the whole truth? Nothing but the truth." This was their version of that back then. Give God the praise. "We know that this man is a sinner." And the formerly blind man said, "Well, if he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" Did he answer meekly? Did he answer cautiously? No. He's a little irritated. "I have told you already, and you would not listen." And he knew they were angry, and he knew he was risking getting bounced out of the temple. "Do you want to become his disciples also?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, said, well, that's a fine thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. And that's an interesting little statement that doesn't get corrected or modified. We may want to say that all our troubles are the result of our own sins, but here, God does not listen to sinners. Yes, I think he does. He hears our prayers, because if he doesn't, he's not hearing very many of mine. But it is important that we recognize that God listens to those who love him and have and are trying to have a pure heart. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. This is the formerly blind man speaking. Ever since the world began, has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind? If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin and would teach us. And they cast him out. The eyes of their hearts were so closed that they would not listen to the evidence that this man kept putting before them. So he kept seeing better. They kept seeing worse. We're almost done. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. What a day this was for that blind man. Not only did he receive his vision, but he was introduced to the second person of the Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, and was blessed with the opportunity to acknowledge that and worship him. Sight, visual illumination, but also heartfelt, noetic, spiritual illumination, all in one day. So as you go forward in this Memorial Day weekend, I hope you have blessed plans to share time together. Perhaps you are mourning the absence of those who aren't there. We remember that time as well. But go forward and think and pray that our eyes may be opened, that we may see and know Christ more and more fully each day. Because we can never, never know him all the way. But we can grow in that, just like that blind man. Go in peace.